participants will receive a comprehensive medical and psychological evaluation and be seen by the psychiatrist on a weekly basis. To find out more, call 631-638-HELP or visit imagers.info.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you? XOXOXO. Want to snuggle? ... JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? ... We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at your boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, but now the robot knows about the website, so I think we're all in danger. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. It's a little after 6. I don't know why, but that means we're overdue for another edition of Off the Wall. I like the drums. So dramatic. Here we are, another Tuesday evening of Off the Wall. Emmanuel over here, Kyle over there.
I am over there.
And congratulations, by the way. Did you...
Oh, do I deserve this?
Oh, yeah, actually...
What is it?
We have won Radio Personality of the Year for Long Island. You and me. I just read it now. I am as
Why
shocked as you are.
Why did you keep this from me?
Because it's
you
a surprise. I just found out. It's apparently the competition was quite stiff. There's a lot of radio stations on Long Island, a lot of personalities, some of which are negative, some are positive. What?
I don't believe you.
I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Moonlight, you're the winner. I'm sorry. It had our name on it. I didn't see the word loser underneath it. Okay, all right. You know, everybody makes mistakes. And boy, are people making mistakes.
It's a flub.
Yeah. What do you think of those Emmy Awards?
It wasn't the Emmys.
Okay, I made another mistake. You see, I'm going to be making lots of mistakes now, and I'm going to be proud of them. Because what's good about this? What's good about when Steve Harvey crowns the wrong Miss Universe and when Warren Beatty... Why does he get the blame, too? He's not the one who read the wrong name. It's Faye Dunaway that read the wrong name.
And he was trepidatious about reading the name.
He's like, why in God's name is Emma Stone's name on Best Picture? Because he was reading the envelope for Best Actress... And she had just won that. And then Faye Dunaway snatches it out of his hand and says, the La La Land. And he gets the blame for some reason. So, okay, yeah, the Oscars, complete disaster, fail, bad, sad, mad. What kind of a world is this turning into? Everything we look at these days is just unprecedented. Oh, my God, that's never happened before. What are we going to do now? In 85 years, this has never happened. I love it. I love disaster because the reason I like it, you've seen these superstars make horrible mistakes, be incredibly embarrassed in front of, I think, a billion people. And the next time we screw up, which will be soon, I can guarantee it, we shouldn't feel bad about it. And neither should you, listeners. Feel free to be imperfect and to make mistakes and to say, oh, you know what? My bad. Okay, let's move on.
It's especially important to carry it when you realize there has been a foul of some sort. Owning it a little bit, fessing up, whatever term you need to apply, act. You know, uh-huh. Act on your realization.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's good to be able to admit when you did something wrong or when you were mistaken. I hope he's paying attention. You know who I mean. I hope he's paying attention and saying, yeah, I could maybe one day admit that I'm wrong, that I made a mistake, that I didn't do things quite as they should have been done.
Well, okay, let's not get too fanciful about this. I know where you're going with it, but let's keep things in the realm of believability.
The highway commissioner needs to know that he is not God, okay? And he makes mistakes, too.
He's obstinate, though.
Yes.
That guy. Oh, yes. That guy. Wait, no.
Well, who do you think I'm talking about?
We're talking about
the... Don't pop the P's on the microphone.
I'm sorry.
We didn't get the P-popping, stopping microphones.
Oh, we had to go for these models.
These ones actually...
They're not
They accentuate the P's.
They're not P-pop.
Yeah.
P-pop compliant.
People, if you get involved... People, if you get involved in radio...
Yeah.
This is the worst thing that you can imagine,
the
is popping P's. That's the first thing they teach you, is avoid words with P in them because they, for some reason, the microphone basically elevates the P sound. And every time you do that, it hurts the ozone layer, too.
Yes, and an engineer somewhere loses a tool.
I'm not kidding. You ever see Horton Hears a Who?
Yeah.
You know, we're basically, it's that one voice that gets through the ozone layer, I think, and penetrates, and everybody can hear them saying, we are here, we are here. Well, it's because somebody had a P sound in there someplace, and it basically pierced the atmosphere, so be careful with your P's.
Okay, I got to brush up on that. Actually, I'm a little rusty.
It's okay to admit that.
I am qualified as a guest. And I feel we're ready for some other topics of interest.
Well, good football game last week. Then our team won again. Sevilla beat Leicester City 2-1 in Seville, Spain.
Sevilla.
Sevilla.
I don't think the L is very
Barbara of Sevilla.
It's a little L, a slight L, a tinge, a nice subtle L.
We have been following the same team for almost a year now. Do you realize that? Because we went all the way through the Europa Cup last year, and Sevilla won, I think, for the third time in a row. And that meant that we had to follow them through the Champions League because they graduated to Champions League because they won the Europa League. And they have won against every team, including the league group play. So now we're into the round of 16. They could actually go all the way, but they probably won't. And the leg two, the second leg where they play in Leicester, that's happening in mid-March. So then we find out if they're going to make it to the quarter. Actually, are these the quarterfinals? Yeah, the quarterfinals are next.
Yeah, they even beat Greenland, so it's really impressive.
You want to talk about Greenland? Okay. Well, you know, we've been for some reason. why did we get fascinated with Greenland? We just did, and I am really excited because I think we should go there. I think we should go to Greenland. I didn't realize there were cities in Greenland that how many people lived in that city? Like 50,000?
Right. The main city of Nuuk has about 56,000.
Okay, you can't just say the main city of Nuuk casually, like everybody knows.
Nuuk, Greenland. Oh, it's the capital. Yeah. It is. I mean, people don't know, and they should. And we know, of course, because of our interest in that area and possibly going to St. Pierre and Labrador and all of these interesting places. Well, if you go a little further east, sort of between there and Iceland,
yes,
you've Greenland, which is Danish, and the capital is Nuuk.
Yes, not Nuuk as in a little reading nook to sip your coffee in. No, it's not like that, although they probably have one of those there.
It's spelled N-U-U-K.
That's right, because that's how they do things there. It's sort of a mix of Inuit culture and Danish culture, and it's people live there. People live in Greenland, and I want to know more about it. Now, they don't have high-speed rail, all right? We know that.
Yet.
Ever, probably. Well, no, actually, if global warming continues, global warming continues, everything melts, the property there will probably be more valuable. Just saying, this is a good opportunity.
Right, right. Buy now, get in, lock in, earn a little, and then flip it. Yeah.
Kyle and Emmanuel are starting a realty company to get you in on the ground floor for your Greenland villa that has an ocean view because the ocean's coming, and no matter where you are, you'll be seeing it.
It does not come with a boat.
Not yet, no.
No.
No. But, you know, I was looking. Nuuk is the big city,
yes,
or a big city. I don't,
yes,
I don't know if they have. How many people live in Greenland total? It's like it's only double that. So it's most of the people apparently live in Nuuk.
And okay, so Nuuk maybe is not 56,000. I thought the entirety of Greenland is 56,000. I may be getting my statistics a little bit off.
This is why we have to go there to find out these things.
And be sure of them. It's one thing to look it up, but to know it, I mean, when you get a sense of a place, you have a lot more to associate a number with. It's not just a statistic. So, part of what they're doing there, they do have the game of football, tying this back to Sevilla.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting, because you found this out, that, yeah, they do have football teams, believe it or not, in Greenland.
So once we're there, we've obviously got to see what kind of sporting endeavors and facilities they have. And because it is such a small place, their stadium actually doesn't exist yet.
Well, they say they have a stadium, but we looked at it, and it doesn't have any seats.
Yeah, it looks like a parking lot.
But here's the thing. You discovered that Greenland is not a member of FIFA, which is the International Football League. And you know, so many tiny places like San Marino, Monaco.
Monaco.
All kinds of places are members, but not Greenland for some reason. And considering how big Greenland is, geographically, they should be a member of FIFA. So we're going to try and figure out why that is.
Yeah, and they've had, I think, two teams. Their national team is and some of the major club teams there, I think, have all existed since about the late 70s.
But they can't enter the World Cup. They can't enter the World Cup.
They cannot
possibly win the World Cup, and I think they got a real shot.
They're not accepted as a UEFA or FIFA members, but they're in under consideration, and part of it is facilities and development of that stuff, infrastructure. They do play other games, but they're not considered official international friendlies. So they're sort of on the cusp, but not quite in. And so my reference to them was a little bit of an inside joke, if you know this, because there's no way they would be playing in the games against Sevilla.
But the Faroe Islands, which is nearby, that's also Danish. They have less people there than Greenland, but they actually can enter World Cup competition, and they have official teams. They're members of FIFA.
Oddly enough,
we just think it's unfair that Greenland does not get to participate on that level. So that's the first injustice in Greenland we're going to try and fix.
Absolutely. We will champion this and report back, and maybe even have some radio to do. And interesting people to talk to from that area once we've been able to venture there.
Well, if you're a Greenish... how do you call the people there?
A Greenlander?
Greenlander, is that it? Greenlandic? Write that down. Something else we have to learn. If you're in Greenland and you listen to us, boy, we'd like to find out. That would be awesome. Do you know what Greenland's country code is? I remember.
2-6-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2
Africa.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's really bizarre. Greenland is not part of Africa, but they have an African type country code. Now country codes beginning with 3 and 4 tend to be Europe. Greenland's not really Europe either. They're actually North America, but North America we kind of screwed up the country code because we took one. The United States and Canada took one. As the country code, and we don't even realize we have a country code because we always dial one before numbers.
Number one.
Yeah, but in the rest of the world, they have to dial one before the area code to reach us. We're country code one. But other parts of the Americas have 5. Like Mexico is 5 something as a country code. So
Cinco.
Greenland could have a different country code. I think they should have a more accurate one. If it's a European one, that's a little more accurate. There wasn't room for them before the Germany's reunited and Yugoslavia broke up. They made a whole bunch of new ones. They could have a European code now because there's new ones that are vacant. So that's another thing we have to try and tackle is getting them off of the African country code system because it confuses a lot of people. They're like, you know, this is Africa. You know, it's all, what's all the snow doing here? Nordic people and native, this doesn't make any sense. So there's that. There's a lot that we have to take on.
And contrary to what you may have heard in the news, it's not cracking in half. No, that is Antarctica that is established this mile or many mile long crack in the ice. The Larsen ice shelf. That's way different. Greenland has land and ice. And
Antarctica,
snow.
Complete disaster. Antarctica.
Opposite side of the earth.
It's
failing.
Yeah, it's a failing continent, and they don't know what they're doing down there. We have to figure out what's going on.
We might have to set in the feds, too.
We might have to do that, absolutely, and let's stop paying for it. Just to touch upon one more thing in Greenland, to get to the other communities besides Nuuk, there are no roads that connect them at all. No roads. You cannot just drive from one place to another.
There's no Autobahn or...
There's like nothing like that.
Interstate...
I'm fascinated by this, but what there is, and I discovered this, and I'm bouncing up and down with excitement at the prospect of doing this.
You should really be careful with that chair.
I know. It's not a bouncy chair. Yeah. But you can take a boat. You can take a boat that basically goes up the coast and stops in all communities.
A steamer, if you will.
And you hang out with the local people. You get to see how they live their lives. It's the most amazing thing. I can't think of a better way to learn about the country. Better than flying from place to place,
it's
taking
like
a boat.
Like a train without rails.
Yeah. Yeah, basically
kind
it is.
Of. I mean...
And you mentioned Labrador, too. That's another place we have our eye on. Labrador City, it's part of the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. I've been to Newfoundland a couple of times, never been to Labrador. And there is a train that goes up through, well, not through Labrador City, near Labrador City. It goes up and then back down. It's basically just one line. It's run by Native people in the area. And that sounds fascinating, too, and it's sort of a parallel to the Greenland thing where you're riding with local people and seeing various communities in a very sparsely populated place.
Right, and a terrestrial mode of transportation that isn't as harried and somewhat and impossible, like in these places with no roads or not a lot of roadway culture.
Yeah, Labrador has roads, but not you won't find an LIE there.
Yeah. So more on travel and stuff. I also I've been looking at St. Pierre and other interesting places.
St. Pierre and Miquelon, I've been there twice. Mm-hmm. Also part of Newfoundland because you have to go through Newfoundland to get there. But basically how that works is off the coast of Newfoundland are these islands known as St. Pierre and Miquelon, and they're actually part of Europe. They're part of France. So when you go there, you're in Europe, and you can drive to Europe.
That would be fun. I would really enjoy that. And I think you have to take some kind of boat or something to get there, ferry.
How good a swimmer are you?
Yeah, it's definitely an island.
I recommend
think you can
the boat.
Drive there.
No, you can't drive there. You can take a plane. You can land. You can do that. But the boat is the preferred way.
Right. And hopefully by then we'll have a brand new national rail system in this country to talk extensively about. Because everything is happening so quickly and America is becoming so great that I'm almost sick of it. I'm kind of tired of winning at this point.
What winning is, I'm really tired of it.
I could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going well. What else is going on, really? I mean,
Well, we're required by law to talk about different things for a set amount of time, for at least 20 minutes. And it's 25 after now, so... We can dive into the elephant in the room. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for tonight?
Hold on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think I am.
Our president is our president in training. That's the only way I can describe it. Is about to speak to Congress, and that's going to be interesting too.
You're right.
It's the equivalent of a State of the Union, but it's really not.
It's sort of an update. An update on his impressions of the job? Is this how well is he reporting on things that he's done? What is he talking about?
He's going to say what he wants to do, what he wants to cut, what he wants to build.
So this is sort of an enhanced platform speech
Something like that. I mean, the thing we found out about yesterday is that he wants to increase defense spending by like 10%, something like $55 billion. Basically... this is the amount of money that if you spent it on education, everybody going to every public college in the country could go for free. Tuition could be waived. That's what we're talking about here.
Which would have fall-on and indirect effects on, let's be real, on the defense industry. I mean, you can fund it in different ways. You want to give it to the industrial complex and the corporations, they're going to spend it how they see fit. And fulfill all these contracts and cut deals a lot. But the educational side, investing in that, you create people that are hireable. It's just different ways of going about it. There are really beneficial parts of investing in education. It's not the only thing that has to be that investment would go to. But for instance, education. You would notice a lot of improvements that could really go a long way.
I think we should stop saying that it's an increase in defense spending and instead say it's a massive cut to the things that will be decimated, such as education. Even the State Department, he's slashing that. He's slashing EPA. It's insane. It is completely insane. Even without this increase, we spend far more on defense than any other country. It's not exactly a crisis. He's made it out to be a crisis that the rampaging hordes of immigrants are coming and destroying our way of life, and that ISIS is everywhere. In actuality, this country is pretty much running the world, so we don't have to worry that much about our interests being destroyed. But we do have to worry about destroying things here at home, and by cutting funding to all of these things, from the arts to the education to all sorts of agencies that are necessary, that is where society starts to fall apart. And we're seeing the effects of that. We're seeing people living in fear now. We're seeing people viewing the government as the enemy. I mean, basically transgender people last week having protections removed for using the bathroom of the gender they identify with, those guidelines by the federal government just being wiped away so that states like North Carolina, Arizona, places like that can basically discriminate at will without worrying about the federal government coming down on them. We're seeing rumblings of marijuana legalization under attack now. I can't say I'm surprised that that's going to be in Sessions' sights there. It's not a pleasant place right now, but I draw strength in seeing people react, seeing people respond, gather, talk to each other. You know those town halls. Remember last week we were listening on the radio to all the different town halls going on across the country. People finally waking up and confronting their elected officials at home and demanding answers. You know, what are you planning on replacing Obamacare with? How are you going to make sure that people are covered? Demanding answers for these actions that they are taking. And, you know, seeing that these guys really have no clue what they are going to do. Just yesterday, Donald Trump said, who would have guessed that healthcare was so complicated? Really? You didn't know healthcare was complicated. Everybody else seemed to know that. We knew it was complicated. We knew it took this long for something like Obamacare to come into being because it was complicated. He's just finding out now. We've got to pay for you know, his naivete, his mistakes. I don't think so. I think people are realizing he doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, it's insane to think that you have the answer. You must work with other people, and that alienation and polarization and hostility has made a climate where people don't want to work with you even if they would have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's consequences, and this is the dysfunction. This is the stagnation. This is the inertia we're going to face. To those of us who aren't active and who are unwilling to find other ways and to really be engaged at the community level and do what you can in your community, at your household, with your friends and neighbors, to resist and to make sure that there are ways that we can protect one another, that we can address these things and really put light on the consequences of the alienation and loss of protection that is going to happen at the state and community level as a fall-on effect.
Yeah. Now, here in Long Island, there have been the same thing. Yeah, basically, I don't want to say town halls. We have two Long Island congressmen that had, I guess, a question session from their constituents last Thursday. One was at a crowded community center, and one was via teleconference.
Oh, that's just...
Yeah.
I saw some clips of the teleconference. They're just so cheap-looking.
Well, okay, so this guy Lee Zeldin...
Not a replacement.
He's a Republican from Shirley out east.
Okay.
Second-term incumbent, represents a swing district here on Long Island. He opted for a telephone town hall in lieu of the traditional in-person town hall meetings that have generated heated confrontations between anti-Trump protesters and GOP lawmakers.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all. And you know what, Lee Zeldin, if you don't have the guts to face the people in your district, you shouldn't be in power. All right? You can't do this over the telephone. It's not the same thing, and people know that.
You know the phrase "calling it in," you know, like
exactly.
Yeah, it's like a cop out.
Meanwhile, Representative Thomas Suozzi, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. He's a Democrat from Glen Cove in Nassau County, and he was elected in November. He took 50 questions from constituents for more than 2 hours at a forum held at the Mid Island YJCC in Plainview. He told more than 300 attendees that they had to turn their furor with Trump into efforts to influence elections at every level, down to towns and counties. God forbid this energy dissipates. You have to be organized. 50 questions. And what did Zeldin take? He took 12 questions from more than 9,000 residents listening in on the line. No. Sorry, Zeldin. Not the same thing. Listening in on a phone call is not the same thing as being in a town hall. And, you know, he closed down one of his offices, I think the office in Riverhead, so people can't go there to talk to him. They have to go to Patchogue, but his hours there are extremely limited. We've seen Peter King, you know, the idiot guy from NASA who is always on TV.
He's kind of a blowhard.
He's a blowhard to the biggest extreme, saying, you know what, I'm not going to have any kind of meeting if it's going to be a shouting match. You know what, Peter King, you got to get used to the shouting matches. There's been enough shouting against Obama and Democrats and people for the last 8 years. They dealt with it. It's time for you to deal with it as well. I've been trying to get this particular fact explained to me. We have these people's home addresses. If they refuse to have town hall meetings, if they refuse to show up at their offices and talk to their constituents, do we have the right to come to them? They have been elected to represent us. We know where they are.
They're eating lunch on the spoils of that position.
Exactly. So is it, you know, and I wish somebody could answer the question, is it wrong to give out their personal information? Because we have all of it. We can say, hey, this is where they are right now. Go to their house. Confront them. Why? Yeah, it's nasty. I agree. It is nasty. But are you affected by their actions in your home? If so, well, then why can't they be affected by your actions in theirs?
And let's analyze. Let's really look inward. What is public life?
Mm-hmm.
You've signed up for this.
Yes.
As an official, as someone above the civilian, above those little citizens.
Uh-huh.
But when they come calling, are you private? Do you change somehow? No.
Yeah, they call you home. And you can't stop them. Political calls, you can't stop those from coming into your home.
Absolutely. Hey, that's a fair assessment of what we face from them, from mm-hmm. their lobbyists and interests. And it seems only fair.
I'm sorry. Like I said. I'm sorry. Again, I read the wrong thing. I've been reading as if people are against the government, against the people that were elected. Apparently I'm wrong. Apparently people are gung-ho for what is going on in this country, because yesterday there were rallies, pro-Trump rallies across the nation. On Monday, conservatives around the country got out the Make America Great Again hats, unfurled American flags, and held rallies at state capitals and on courthouse steps, seeking to rekindle the populist fervor that helped vault Mr. Trump to the White House and stick up for a president whose approval ratings have taken a beating during 5 storm-tossed weeks in office. Whatever you've heard as far as that goes, that's fake news. That's not true. That's not happening. What happened yesterday, we had some crowds show up to support Trump. In Denver, there were 150 Trump supporters that turned out for a rally held. Do you find something funny there, Kyle? Are you laughing? Is that fake laughter or is that real laughter?
Oh, no. No.
All right, then.
I would never
All right.
Laugh. No.
Let me continue.
No, please.
150 Trump supporters held just across the street from a park that had swelled with tens of thousands of protesters during the Women's March on January 21st. Okay, I see what you're
yeah.
laughing at there. Okay.
There's
yeah.
incongruence.
It's a smaller crowd. It's a smaller crowd, but it's a more concentrated crowd.
Yeah.
Yes, what they have contained within them is more pure than. No, that's probably the wrong way to phrase it too. Okay, fine. So forget Denver. Then let's go to Atlanta. In Atlanta, we had largely white crowd of 200 people who rallied on the president's behalf at Liberty Plaza in the shadow of the state capitol.
200
people. All
That's
right.
a mighty turnout.
Fine. Okay, so let's go to Louisiana. Mandeville, one of Louisiana's most conservative parishes. There was some question as to how many Trump supporters would materialize, this being the usually quiet eve of Mardi Gras. But there was little doubt that those who showed up, 150 or so bikers, retirees, off-duty police officers, and others. Okay, 150, check. 150. Okay, but you know what? We're up to 500 people now nationwide.
You know, just recall, all 2016, the entire election run-up, every single Trump event had vastly overstated numbers.
North Carolina.
That was like hallmark.
North Carolina. Come on, you can't lose in North Carolina when you're trying to get Trump people rallying.
Oh, yeah.
Cabarrus County, North Carolina. Mr. Trump easily carried that
county. No, not Cabarrus County.
More than 150 of his supporters met up outside the courthouse in Concord, many of them unfurling last year's Trump campaign flags, lawn signs, and red caps, because they still have them. A surprising number said they had never attended a Trump rally during the presidential race. Why is it always 150 people? Wow. One of them was 200. One of them was 200. Atlanta was 200 people. And the rest were 150. Okay, fine. So you know what? They're humble crowds. They're humble crowds. But they're sincere crowds. And they're real crowds. And this is real news. So shut up. Shut up and listen.
Nothing fake about it. Nope. This, that happened.
Yeah, that happened. So yeah, there's pro-Trump rallies, but there's quite a few anti-Trump rallies going on, even here, even around here. We just have to publicize them better. Week after week, I complain about this happened yesterday. I didn't know about it. We could have tens of thousands of people if there was better publicity. And when things actually start affecting people, I think that's when they wake up. So. These are good things. These are good things that are happening. But something that happened last week, which we haven't touched upon yet, the press being barred from that White House briefing.
The gaggle?
Yeah, the gaggle. Which basically it means that it's not something that's filmed usually. It's somewhat, I won't say off the record, but just kind of a little bit more informal. But the amount of agencies that were just barred from being part of it, unprecedented. CNN, the New York Times, BuzzFeed News, Los Angeles Times, Politico, The Guardian, all kinds of major outlets being barred, while Breitbart News, Washington Times, Fox, they all were allowed in. This is what this administration is doing. This is their tactic, to basically say, you either cover us the way we want you to cover us, or we simply won't let you cover us at all. And this is within the first month that we're seeing this kind of action, this kind of hostility. What do you think it's going to be like in 6 months, in a year, in, God forbid, 4 years? It's scary. It really is.
Yeah, the prospect of further division within the sort of coverage. You'll have, I think, a layer of people there, and then a layer of coverage sort of outside, several layers of bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how they refer to them, as bubbles. Whether you're inside which bubble, I guess, dictates the kind of coverage and storytelling you're doing. It's sad, and it's sort of surprising that they don't understand that the White House is itself an institution that is... looked at a lot. Mm-hmm. That's the point. We're all looking at it. It's where we find out information about our country, and they're having all of these growing pains and machinations just to get a working level that they're comfortable with. It's not ever going to be comfortable, y'all.
No, definitely not. You can tell a lot about people by how they react to those who disagree with them, to those who challenge them. This administration has reacted absolutely abhorrently to those people that question and disagree, and all kinds of attempts to silence them, to discredit them, and to basically just all-out lie about the things that are going on. And the worst thing we can possibly do as media, as citizens, is to basically, I guess, kind of curtail the way we express ourselves in anticipation of that, to tone it down a little bit because we know there's going to be a fierce reaction if we speak the actual truth. But if we continue to do that, if we continue to speak the truth and just basically piss these people off no end, they will continue to show their true colors. They will act more and more desperately. And you will have a lot of allies, a lot of people that will say, yeah, this is exactly right. This is how I feel as well.
Yeah, and they won't feel they've the permission to act and respond and react in the ways they are in an office that requires this level of reporting. And you can't avoid it. I mean, we're all watching, and it's not something people are going to shy away from one way or another.
Mm-hmm,
You're going to, you know, the light is going to be shown on a lot of these issues.
By the way, people ask us how come we're not taking phone calls. We can't take phone calls yet in the new studio. It's not wired into the board.
I'd really love to hear from people.
I would love to hear from people. Oh my God, it would be awesome. But
that you're not fun to talk to.
We don't have thank you, but we don't have a delay machine hooked up yet. Hopefully in the next week or two that'll happen, and we'll be able to once again take phone calls. In the interim, please write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Or just scream at your radio.
Yeah, scream at your radio. I know a lot of people disagree with us as well, but you know, we want to hear from everybody. And
whatever feels healthy.
Exactly. It's what it's all about.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of other methods of communication as well. You can... one person actually sent a direct message to my Twitter account, which I just saw, responding to something I was talking about last week. This is pretty awesome. Let me read this. Just listening to the episode of Off the Wall where you talk about your headaches, wanted to let you know it's awesome and kind of crazy to hear someone else describe what I am going through. I was diagnosed with ocular migraines last year after just too many awful nights on WebMD. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Convinced that I am a walking tumor with MS and epilepsy and probably syphilis. I've spent this past week in a stupor of after images and confusion. And my husband, who has been listening to your show for a very long time, mentioned that you were talking about the same thing I was going through and linked me to this episode. Not only is it comforting for me to hear someone else talk about having the same issues, it also really helps for my husband to hear it from someone else's perspective. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that at least this person was happy you decided to talk about it. So thanks, and thank you for writing in to us and sharing that. I do want to say, though, make sure, you know, just because of my experience doesn't mean it's the same as yours. Make sure that you're checked out, that use that health care that you have and get a full full checkup and analysis. What I was talking about was basically just having this this strange sensation occasionally of kind of like a flashing in one eye and a little bit of difficulty understanding some things or expressing or reading. And I was told that this is a type of headache that happens every now and then. And close your eyes, just relax for about a half hour or so, and it goes away. And that's, you know, this is something I've had for a number of years. It happens every few months. It's nothing to really be worried about. But it could be. You know, it could be something else, so that's why you have to get checked out.
Yeah, and reducing outside stimuli, I find, makes me at least able to reset a little bit and get my druthers around whatever strain or fatigue I might be feeling from just so many screens and different activities and modes and paces of work.
If you're going through something like that, that is not the time to play a video game. Do not do that. Just basically close your eyes and relax. And you should always have the ability, the freedom to close your eyes and relax and just have nobody bother you for a specified amount of time. And you'd be amazed how many things calm down if you just give yourself that.
Yeah, you don't want to stare at a strobe light or anything.
Don't do that. No, that's definitely not something that would help at all. But yeah, there's a lot of issues out there, and I think we get stronger by sharing them, and talking about them.
It's everyday life, man.
It is.
You know.
Speaking of everyday life.
Yeah. Shoot. What else you got?
Well, let's see.
Got to keep moving here. There's so much to talk about. It's really amazing. I'm enjoying this though. I like the facility here. I can't wait for those phones though, because it's great to just actually talk to people, and of course we'll learn that that system when we get it here.
Yes.
Things are going. I don't know. At a sort of good pace. I think the station is is getting back on its feet after that ruckus move that really was. I mean, has anybody? We still haven't checked on the Union.
We have to pass by there.
We gotta. Let's drive by there, or just, you know, just do a visual. I'm sure it's changed. I heard had a fence there.
They put up a fence, but I think they did more than just that.
They must know that can't keep people out, like especially us.
Yeah.
But we will stay out, and we are casually curious about the state of that. But I think things are going to come back to life here. There's so much. Obviously, we'll be moving to another studio. There's just a lot of great stuff with the media here, making that accessible to visitors.
Well, we have right now we're in Studio 3.
We are.
And Studio 3 is a small studio.
It's top secret. We can't tell you exactly where it is.
If you were to crowd people in here, I'd say you could probably get about 10 people into this room, but they wouldn't be comfortable. But now Studio 2 and Studio 1 are much bigger, and those are the full production studios. There's also Studio 4, and that's about the size of this one.
That's got a really interesting setup, some equipment that's donated and can be used as a full music and audio production studio, sort of independent of broadcast, which will be really exciting when people get going on that as far as setting it up and configuring
and
things.
And we also have a ton of media from vinyl to CDs that we are working with the university to find space for, because right now we don't have enough space.
We got our storage hijacked somehow. I don't want to get into it, but...
Well, that was the temporary. We have
all
the temporary storage.
Building materials, and facilities, desks, and beds, and all this crazy stuff that keeps taking over our space. We can't add to it.
We've talked about this. We're encoding all the 100,000 or so CDs so that we have a digital library.
We are.
But we have to put the CDs that we've encoded someplace, and that has been in a temporary storage facility here on campus. But the last time we went there, it was filled with couches that don't belong to us.
Not our couch.
No, and so we have no place to put them, so we're kind of on hold right now until that is resolved. So, yeah, space is at a premium, but this is history. This is what our life's blood, so hopefully that gets fixed pretty soon. But a lot of positive developments.
We're excited to get it going. There's going to be new systems and just so much more organization and access so that you can play all kinds of stuff. We'll have turntables, of course. We'll be
turntables?
Doing that. There's even some older turntables we're helping repair. I was working on that.
We saved all of Lister's records. Lister does the reggae show on those rare Saturdays when there isn't a game.
That's right.
Broadcast over the radio. But he's been doing the longest reggae show in the country. And that's not a joke. He literally has been doing reggae since, I think, the 1970s. And he has an incredible vinyl collection. That vinyl collection would have been destroyed had we not grabbed it during that last frantic week of moving out of the old building. And now we have it all, and you're putting together a turntable so that we can, for one thing, hear it, but also digitize that as well.
Yeah, there were a couple broken record players that the station has, and I've opened them up and done a little soldering, getting them reconditioned so that people can test and have a listening station, more listening stations for vinyl, because obviously to prepare and use it, or even to archive it in a digital form, you need to be able to go through, queue it up, and play stuff to get a sense and an idea of what kind of stuff you want to listen to or keep.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to do our best to archive that stuff and also find permanent homes for these things.
Yes. It's all doable. It's all stuff we can do. We put our heads on it and not believe that we're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, this is how things get done in community endeavors like a community radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's more fun. There's so many cool things we get to see and get to make sure are done the right way.
And
it's very hands-on.
Unlike a couple of years ago, I feel real support from the university. We kind of felt like we were forgotten about in the past.
For a long time.
And now it's different. There's more student involvement than ever.
Yes.
And
which is important.
And people in the administration, they get the frequency right now. They know where to find us on the dial. In fact, there's two places to find us on the dial now, so you have your odds have doubled.
No doubt there's more staff, more teachers, more administrators actually tuning in, maybe to 107.3,
yes,
which is the station on campus, or when they're on their way home, wherever that may be, to 90.1, our traditional frequency.
Yes, we're not NPR. We're not we're not this massively funded outlet. We are alternative in all ways, but that means that we can do all kinds of different things. And we have so many interesting people here on campus that have something to say, and this is the outlet to reach the world. And I'm seeing more people taking advantage of that, and that's really heartening.
So yeah, watch out, because boy, all of that music and good radio will be coming to you very soon, sooner than you think.
And if you want to get involved in WUSB here on campus or in the community, just come on down or go to our website, WUSB.fm, and you'll find out all kinds of things about how you can participate and actually go on the air and do your own thing, because that's how I got involved many, many years ago, and I see more people getting involved every day. Speaking of space, I'm speaking of space because in my mind I'm thinking that we have a great Earth and Space Sciences department here at Stony Brook. There's a big telescope on top of the roof, and that was one of the first courses I ever took was Introduction to Astronomy, and I learned a lot then. I'm just reading this story now. Actually, as I'm talking, I'm also reading stories. Did you hear about this, where SpaceX is going to be flying two private citizens on a trip around the moon in 20 years? No, I'm kidding. 10 years. No, I'm still kidding. 5 years. No, I'm still kidding, Kyle. Next year.
Really?
They're doing this next year.
Wow.
They're flying people around the damn moon next year.
Wait,
2018.
Is that our trip? That's not us.
That's not us.
Two people.
Hopefully we'll go to Greenland or Labrador or something like that.
Wait a minute.
These people are going around the moon. The moon.
I'd go.
Maybe. Do you have however many millions of dollars they paid for this?
What's the return flight? Okay. Wait, why them?
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Why the moon?
It doesn't matter. I'm just thrilled that this is happening.
Why next year?
I am just so happy this is actually happening.
Okay.
I don't care that they're rich, privileged jerks. I don't care. I want to see humans going out into space and exploring, all right? I'd even support sending Trump. I would definitely support sending Trump out there. So SpaceX will be flying two private citizens on a trip around the moon next year. That's according to what Elon Musk said yesterday. The private spaceflight company will use its Falcon Heavy rocket to send the two paying passengers into space aboard one of the company's Dragon spacecraft. The two private citizens, who have not yet been named, approached SpaceX about taking a trip around the moon. How do you do that? It's like, yeah, you know, we want to go on a honeymoon and I want to do something a little different. They've already paid a significant deposit for the cost of the mission. The names will be announced later, pending the result of initial health tests to ensure their fitness for the mission. Like the Apollo astronauts before them, these individuals will travel into space carrying the hopes and dreams of all humankind, driven by the universal human spirit of exploration. Captain Picard said that. The two passengers will be the only people on board what is expected to be about a week-long trip around the moon. This would be a long loop around the moon. It would skim the surface of the moon, go quite a bit further out into deep space, and then loop back to Earth. So distance-wise, about 400,000 miles. That's actually less than I put on my Toyota Tercel. But that took 20 years for me to do that. So the moon flight is scheduled to launch after SpaceX flies NASA astronauts to the International Space Station as part of the Commercial Crew Program. But this is happening. It's really happening. And just like building USB, we are going into space. And I think those two things are a lot closer together than you might think.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah. Did you know about that? Had you heard about that?
I had heard a thing. I mean, it's logical because they're really trying to certify these capsules. There's the Orion capsule and then the Dragon capsule. Those are the two main contenders to get people to the space station, but also for other, I guess, private endeavors, including this. And that kind of makes sense as a trip, because it's really no additional like landers or other equipment. It's simply going out and coming back.
Yeah, what a trip.
It's as simple as
a week.
Setting those trajectories.
And just skimming the surface. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
That would be an interesting flyby. I wonder how long that actually takes.
I hope they take pictures. I really do. And when they do this, that means more people will do it, and then we'll do more adventurous things. This is what I've been waiting for.
No Wi-Fi.
All right. You know, the other thing we've been waiting for is this Trump speech tonight. So get your seatbelts on and watch that. I think it starts at 8:30 or 9 or something like that. I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to do all kinds of things. And we will see you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Everywhere is freaks and hairs, dykes and